Greetings, and thank you so much for joining this study on the miracles of Jesus. I want to welcome all of you to this series preached here at the J Street Church of Christ in Grants Pass, Oregon. It's week 9 of the COVID quarantine, and I hope you're doing well. I hope you're safe. This too shall pass, so hang in there. Lord willing, it will be over soon. You know, it's been said that Jesus broke up every funeral he ever attended. And that's amazing. And he's on his way to breaking up another funeral here in Luke chapter 8. Because Jairus has come to Jesus because his daughter is dying. And Jesus is going to help Jairus' daughter. And by the time Jesus arrives, she's already died. But Jesus will not let death have the last say. You're going to notice throughout the Gospels, over and over in the life of Christ, we see him restoring what was lost in the paradise garden of Eden. Sin entered the garden, you remember, in Genesis. And with sin came separation from God. Well, God is life. Separation from God brings disease and death. God is light. So separation from God brings darkness and despair. God is love. So separation from God brings hatred, violence, division in the world, which is what we see around us. But Jesus came from heaven to earth, and he brings life, light and love into this broken world of darkness. And on his way to raising Jairus' daughter, something else extraordinary happens. Read with me in Luke chapter 8, and let's begin in verse 40. So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Now a woman, having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." We'll talk next week about Jairus and his daughter. But I want to take a look at this woman who fights her way through the crowd to reach Jesus. Would you first notice her suffering? She suffered physically. And you saw that in verse 43. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians. So she suffered a flow of blood for 12 years. Think about that. A constant bleeding that would not stop. Imagine becoming weaker and weaker, anemic, pale, worn out. Imagine how difficult life would be with this constant condition. So she's suffering physically, and we see that with this condition. But she's also suffering financially. Because notice in verse 43, A woman having a flow of blood for 12 years who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. She had spent all of her money on doctors. But not only did she spend all her money on doctors, the doctors actually made things worse. When you read Mark's account, they made things worse. The only thing they did do was to drain her of all her money and all her hope, or what little that she had. So she suffers physically, she suffers financially, she suffers socially, because a condition such as this would isolate her from any public life, because under the Mosaic law, she would be considered unclean. Leviticus chapter 15. Therefore, anything or anyone she touches would be rendered unclean. So as a result, she would be isolated from society, from community. She also suffered spiritually. Since the laws in Leviticus rendered her unclean, she wouldn't be allowed to enter the women's court of the temple. She could not participate in worship or offering sacrifice at the temple. She's isolated socially and even spiritually, and she's even suffering, of course, emotionally. I mean, considering the average lifespan then, and she's had this condition for 12 years, you can imagine this has basically wrecked the best years of her life. Her hopes, her dreams, wrecked. Going from one doctor to the next, one disappointment to the next, one rejection to the next. So her life is literally draining out of her body, little by little, day by day. But even in the midst of all this, we see her faith. I mean, she's desperate, she's destitute, she's discouraged, but notice she's determined. She has faith. And Mark tells us that she's heard of Jesus. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I will be made well." So, although she's not supposed to be around people because of her condition, she's willing to risk public humiliation, ridicule, possibly punishment, to be able to get through that crowd just to see Jesus. And so that's what she does. She presses through the crowd and reaches out with a trembling hand and touches the hem of Jesus' garment. That Greek word there for touched literally means to cling to or adhere to. In other words, she held on until she got what she came for. Complete restoration of her health. Somebody said, when you're hanging by a thread, make sure it's the hem of his garment. She's hanging by a thread, but she is determined to reach out to Jesus. And so we also see Christ's power. Instantly, immediately, her flow of blood stopped. Mark 5:29, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. In that instant, she received what none of the doctors could provide her over 12 long years. And she received it in an instant from Christ. So she felt the power heal her. Jesus felt the power go out of him. Look at Luke 8:45. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceived power going out from me." She felt the power heal her. Jesus felt the power going out of him. So we see Christ's power, but we also see his compassion. You know, Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" And it's Peter who can't understand Jesus' question. I mean, there's all these people pressing in, but only this woman is healed? Well, later, maybe word got out, because later we read that many others did the same. Look at Matthew 14:34. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. Did Jesus heal this woman without his knowledge or consent? Did Jesus really not know who touched him? You know, God asked Adam, "Where are you?" You remember when Adam and Eve were hiding? God asked Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" Elisha asked his servant, "Where have you been, Gehazi?" He knew. And in every case, there is a moral purpose to the question. And so Kaufman said it this way. So there was a moral purpose of the question here. Jesus would not permit this woman of such commendable faith to receive in secrecy, and by stealth in a sense, the blessing which he willed that she should receive. You see, many times Jesus drew faith out of a person, and often by asking a question. So when Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" it's not because he didn't know. It's because Jesus wanted this woman to step forward in faith. Not only for her physical healing, but for her spiritual healing. Jesus' healing was not only powerful, it was personal. He stopped everything. And in that moment, he wants her to step forward out of the crowd, to step out in faith. Verse 47, "Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, 'Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace.'" That is just remarkable. Jesus' healing is not just powerful, it's personal. It's almost like time froze in that moment. Jesus wanted to talk with this woman of great faith. So let's take a look at some implications. And we're going to look at five. The first is that there are some things that only Christ can heal. I mean, this woman spent all her money on different doctors and none of them could help. 12 years. So, there are some things only Christ can heal, and we've all experienced the brokenness of this world, and we've all tried different doctors. Some have tried doctor entertainment. It wasn't a cure. Doctor success. It helped for a while, but not in the long run. Doctor pleasure. Doctor self-help. Doctor self-esteem. You see, only Christ can bring true healing for our souls. And in many ways, we're just like this woman. Every one of us has a terminal disease. It's called sin. And maybe you've tried to solve it with different doctors, different painkillers to kill the pain, different distractions to cover up the pain, different belief systems to explain the pain. And in the process, you'll find your life broken into 1,000 different questions, and you'll spend your life trying 1,000 different cures. And when you reach the end of your own resources, you find the hem of his garment. Because nothing will heal you except the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember Isaiah 53? But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. There's some wounds that only Christ can heal. And he did it at the cross. And so when you reach the end of your own resources, that's when you find the hem of the garment. She had tried everything else. Only Christ can heal the greatest wound. Number two, we cannot change our past, but Christ can give us a new future. Think about this. 12 years. 12 years of doctors. 12 years of treatments. 12 years of discouragement, hopelessness. And those 12 years of suffering are gone. Okay, you're not going to get those back. Those are gone forever. And I'm sure she thought that some of the best years of her life were wasted. Gone. She can't get those back. And it's the same with us. We can't change our past. We can't go back and undo the wasted years. But Christ can give us a new future. If we stop trying all the world's painkillers and turn to Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we can't change our past, but Christ can give us a new future. Also, you'll notice in here that the power of Christ is available. Did you notice that there was a crowd there? Jesus is being pressed all about, but it's only this one woman who's healed. And that's because the power of Christ is available for those with faith who confess their faith and follow by faith the instructions of the great physician. I mean, did you notice Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Did he not know? Many times Jesus drew faith out of a person by asking them a question. And when Jesus asked who touched me, it wasn't because he didn't know. It was because he wanted this woman to step forward in faith. There's a lot of people bumping into Jesus here and there, maybe on Sunday at church. But there's a big difference between being in a crowd bumping into Jesus versus reaching out by faith to touch the hem of the garment. Jesus wants us to step forward in faith. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. You see, Jesus wanted her to step forward, to confess her faith. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So confession is a part of what God desires from us. To confess our need for forgiveness. To confess that only Christ can forgive us of our sins. To humbly obey the Master's instructions for the forgiveness of sins. So the power of Christ is available to those who believe by faith, repent of their sins, confess Jesus as Lord, are baptized into Christ. In other words, those who humbly obey the prescription from the great physician. Number four, we must step forward in faith, not slip back into the crowd. Did you notice that this woman knew that if she could just reach out to Jesus and touch the hem of his robe, she'd be healed? And she was. Jesus healed her in a powerful and personal way. But then did you notice she wanted to slip back into the crowd? She wanted to disappear. You see, sometimes we want to be healed by the Lord. We want to be forgiven of our sins, adopted into God's family, receive the inheritance of the saints, but not necessarily be an active member of God's kingdom, God's family. Just let me slip back into the world where I can be anonymous, where I can feel safe, where I don't have responsibilities, where I don't have to have spiritual growth or grow to spiritual maturity. That's a mistake. We are called out of the kingdom of darkness into the light. Peter says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You see, we're called out of darkness into the kingdom, not to slip back into the crowd and remain anonymous, but to praise him. To praise him in worship on the first day of the week. He died for us, so we live for him. And so number five, lastly, if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. And that's exactly what happened here. She drew near to the Lord, and he drew near to her. But that word if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. That's a big word. Maybe the biggest word in the English language, if. Well, she did. She drew near to the Lord, and he drew near to her. Jesus healed her and gave her a new life, a new future, a new hope. And we have to step forward in faith as well, not go back into the crowd. Do you feel distant from God? And be honest with yourself. Do you feel like God is never around? Do you feel like God is a million miles away? Well, think about it. If you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So to draw near to God is to spend time with God. Spending time with him in his word, in conversation, through prayer, in worship. You know, Enoch did. Enoch walked with God. Abraham did. Abraham was a friend of God. David did. He was a man after God's own heart. So if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. If you've ever been to Yosemite, you know how beautiful this Yosemite Valley is. And there's a waterfall there, Yosemite Falls, that's magnificent. It's huge. It's gigantic. And standing at the base of that waterfall, you're overwhelmed by the power and by the beauty at the same time. So you're at the base of the waterfall, and it's powerful. There's water cascading down. You can't even talk to the person if they were standing next to you. You'd have to yell, and even then you may not be able to be heard. It's deafening, the roar of the water. It's extremely powerful. But then there's this beauty. There's this mist that is surrounded the base of this waterfall, and in the mist the light comes in, and in the light and the mist there's these rainbows in the mist. It's just the power and the beauty is just it's just incredible. And someone described standing at the base of Yosemite Falls as touching the hem of his garment. It reminds me of descriptions of the throne of God. Because in the descriptions of the throne of God, there's the voice that sounds like many waters. There's the rainbow. There's the power. And we are called to come boldly to the throne. Remember in Hebrews? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Is there power there? Yes. Sometimes frightening power. Is there beauty there? Yes. But are we called to reach out, to go boldly before the throne? Yes. Because that's the only healing that we can receive. That's the only help that we can receive. So please remember the woman who had faith to touch the hem of his garment. We're so much like this woman because we have a terminal disease called sin. But Christ can heal us. We can't change our past, but Christ can give us a new future. The power of Christ is available. He's near at hand. To those who have faith, but we've got to step forward in faith and not slip back into the crowd. And if we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. You know, Jesus died for you, so you can live for Him. And notice what Jesus says, because I live, you will live also. Because I live, you will live also. Jesus healed so many people in his ministry, but that wasn't the main purpose of why Jesus came to earth. He came to earth in order to die on the cross as the perfect Lamb of God for our sins. By his stripes, by his wounds, we are healed. May God bless you this week as we learn to go to God boldly before the throne. May God bless you.